Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, America in Turmoil. A couple weeks ago, it seemed that our country was rapidly disintegrating. Agitators among the protesters were instigating acts of violence that involved arson and looting. There are now demands for the police departments to be dismantled, and most political leaders do not think that giving the anarchists free rein is a good idea. God has revealed that a world government is coming. Satan needs chaos to usher in the future Antichrist and to bring his man to power. This deceitful man will rise up peacefully through the use of flattery. There is a hidden cabal working to destabilize nations that even President George Washington recognized as evil in the late 1700s. This message is entitled, The Illuminati and Freemasonry. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we're going to have the second installment here on America in Turmoil. And this is going to be a different type of message. I will not have that many Bible references in it. And some people are saying this. Now, why do we need to know this? It is important because we are in a changing time. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for helping me to present this message, Lord, in such a way that, Father God, people will be able to understand it, they'll be able to absorb it, and they'll be able to navigate in these troublesome times. And I just want to thank you right now for your presence, for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to turn to Revelation chapter 13. And we're going to lay a foundation here today. When you were born, and you had a soul, and a dead spirit, and a body, you were a blank piece of paper. You did not know who you were. You did not know about your parents. And you had no knowledge of the world, per se. And as you developed from a baby to a toddler, to a young child, to a teenager, and then an adult, you accumulated knowledge. If you were born in Japan, you would have got the morality of Shinto Buddhism. You would have that type of thinking. You would have a certain knowledge of history. If you would have been born in India, you would have been a Hindu or some other religion they have there, a Sikh. And if you would have been born in Saudi Arabia or Iran or Iraq, you would have been a Muslim. So I want you to really understand that you are a product of your environment. Thus, as Christians, we cannot look down upon people of different religions because that's all they know. And they are just like you. You happen to be in a Christian environment, maybe you've gone to Sunday school, read the Bible, and so you have a viewpoint of the world from the Bible. Not because you're great, not because you're smart, you just happen to be blessed and be born in such a way. That should take away all pride from us, where we simply don't walk around and says, well, I'm so happy, you know, I'm such a great person. No, you're not. You're a product of your environment. The Christian faith is based entirely upon the Bible. You and I have never seen Jesus unless you've had a personal revelation. And we are simply believing that the Bible here is the Word of God. And we base our faith on this. This is what we know. We don't read the book of the Quran. We don't read the Book of Mormon. We don't read the Vedanta scriptures. We don't read any other stuff unless you want to educate yourself to witness to them. But we're simply reading the Bible, and that is our foundation. The Bible teaches us what is truth and what is right. None of the other religions in the world has a redemption plan. The Buddhists, Hindus, and so on believe in reincarnation. The Muslims have an angry God, and they never know if they're going to make it to heaven or not. Mormonism, you've got to work for it. Jehovah's Witnesses, they got a really bad plan. They simply decide there was a cooked-up religion. And one of the things that Charles Russell said when he set it up was that it's going to be 144,000 people in heaven. They had 144,000 seats. Well, the problem they have now is that in about the 1930s, they had 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses. So the seats were filled. So then they came up with a new plan, which is still in force today. They simply said this: well, you're not going to make it to heaven. That's filled. They only had 144,000 seats. But we are selling your tickets now to the 1,000-year kingdom. And so if you join Jehovah's group, witnesses group, and you do what they want you to do, you go out and witness and hand out tracts and so on and put the money in, you will be guaranteed a place in the 1,000-year kingdom. However, when the 1,000-year kingdom is gone, you're going to get snuffed out. You're going to stop existing. That's the best Jehovah's Witnesses can offer you. So, having said all of this now, what about the riots, the protests, and so on? Is there a rhyme or reason? Is somebody guiding this? And the answer is yes. Everything that I've been teaching on prophecy is lining up with the Bible that teaches about the Antichrist. 2,000 years ago, actually 1,900 years ago, the Apostle John was taken up into heaven, and he was given a revelation about the end times. The Apostle Paul talked about the man of sin, son of perdition. Jesus talked about the end times. So if you put it all together, we do know this, that there will be a global government in the future. We do know how that's going to work. And so the question is, how is this global government come into being? So let me take you to the outline right now. We're going to start in Revelation 13, 1 through 9. And I wrote this: current events must always be examined through the revelations God has provided in the Bible. Jesus warned us that there will be a future global government headed by a man called the Beast. And we read from Revelation chapter 13, the first 9 verses. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up on the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet was the feet of a bear. His mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, which is Satan. And Satan gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as he were wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They worshipped Satan, which gave power unto this Antichrist. They worshipped the beast himself, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. And it was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain for the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. So, this establishes that someday in the future, there's going to be a global leader. All nations will be merged into a global, not a fellowship, but it's going to be simply one nation. It's going to be a world federation, would be a better term. So, this is going to come. We know that. The question is, when? If we now turn to Daniel chapter 11, we will get some more understanding of how this is going to happen. So we look in Daniel chapter 11, and we begin in verse number 21. And in this estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he should come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. The Nazis tried to conquer other countries with war. The Soviet Union tried to conquer other nations with military means. The Chinese are doing the same thing. Understand this now. This man and his organization are not going to use weapons. There's not going to be military force. They're going to come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. What are flatteries? Well, you can flatter a person. If you want to buy a car, you check it out on the internet. Check things out. And when you go to a dealership, you're going to get three people working on you. You got two salespeople, and you got one guy in the office that, you know, they're working you. And they're going to try to convince you that this vehicle they have, there's no better vehicle than this. The price they're going to give you, you cannot get that better price any other place. They're going to try to sell you on this vehicle because they're not going to put a gun to your head and say, you're going to buy this car, you're going to buy it now, we're going to blow your brains out. No. They're going to work peaceably with flatteries, good information or bad information, and finally going to massage you to the place that you says, okay, where do I sign? I'll buy this car. There's going to be a chaos on this earth. This man and his organization are going to come in and say, we can fix this. Not a problem. We can take care of it. All you have to do is to give us the authority. I was listening to President Trump last night when he was giving his speech, and there was a line there that he said about twice or three times. He said this: if the mayor in Seattle would ask for help. He said, we can come in and we can settle this in an hour. All we need is an invitation to come in. We can take care of it. Well, the president has enough military power that they can do that. This man is going to simply say this, give me the power, and I will take care of things. And when the arms of flood shall be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. This is the picture I want you to have now. It's not going to be 1 million people. It's not even going to be 100,000 people. It's going to be a small group, maybe 5,000 or less, but very powerful people with connections to other places. He should enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers had not done, nor his fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against his strongholds even for a time. The Israeli intelligence service is called Mossad, M-O-S-S-A-D. They have a slogan, and the slogan is, by deception. That's how they operate. The Mossad is the most powerful intelligence service in the world, and they have more power than the CIA, the FSB in Russia, or the Chinese. Why? The Mossad is a very small organization. The CIA has probably close to 800,000 to 900,000 people working. The Mossad probably have less than 1,000 people in their employ. But what they have is they have assets. And every Jew on this planet is required, they expect it, that when the Mossad needs something, someplace, they can go to any Jewish businessman, or educator, any place in any nation, and simply say, we need this for our security. And they will, these people are loyal, and they will do intelligence work, they will bring information, they will do this or that. I don't know if you picked this up or not. During the pandemic, at the height in April and May, Israel needed ventilators. They needed equipment. Who brought it to them? The Mossad. The Israeli government simply gave the order to the Mossad, we need this equipment. There's a competition on the world market because everybody's trying to get the ventilators and getting all the other equipment. Get it. The Mossad activated a number of Jewish people around the world. They flew it in on LL airplanes. And when you read Israeli newspapers and their publications, they were bragging and simply saying, the Mossad brought us in 20 days everything we needed. We paid for it. But it was done by intelligence service. The Mossad is going to play a vital role in the Antichrist system. Let me take you to Daniel 11 now, verse number 36. And the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. He shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor desire women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, a God whom his father knew not shall he honor, with gold and silver, and with precious stones, and pleasant things. We're not given the information that this man that is going to come at the end is going to be a homosexual. And homosexuality is one of the big things in Satan's kingdom. He had Sodom and Gomorrah that God wiped out. And why does he prefer homosexuals? And I try to be tactful, I got children in the chapel. To be a homosexual, you have to have a really perverted brain. If somebody would ask you to eat something that is really rotten, decayed, and says, I want you to eat that, everything inside of you would go, I can't do that. You would be revolting to you. A homosexual has been twisted by evil spirits, and they are doing things that the Bible says are not convenient. They are perverts. They are reprobates. And they make excellent killers. It doesn't mean I don't like homosexual people. I feel sorry for them. We want to see them saved. I'm just telling you what they are and how they do things. And then if you turn back to Revelation 13, I'm going to start in verse number 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He looked nice like a lamb, like a Christian, but he spoke like a devil. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and he caused the earth of them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. This false prophet is going to have supernatural power from the devil. You ask a question, can the devil heal? No, he doesn't heal. He simply stops afflicting a person. When he stops afflicting a person, automatically you get healed. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This was written 1,900 years ago when I didn't even know about electricity. And what the apostle here did, he saw television sets, and he described them as images that could speak. And he caused all both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in his right hand, in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had a mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had a mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Economic power. You heard about sanctions. Well, sanctions is warfare, it's economic warfare. Now, because the United States, through the banking that we have here in this country, which is actually centered in New York and London, this is where the banking centers are located. They're run by the same people. If the United States sanctions, let's say, for example, the country of Iran, then notice is given to all corporations on the earth that if you want to operate in the United States, you want to operate in Western Europe, you want to use our banks, you want to be in the financial market, you cannot sell to Iran. If you do, we will simply remove the finances from you. We will simply then take you down. Banks, corporations are very scared of being sanctioned because that way you can lose your business. Let's talk about Jim Baker. Now, Jim Baker made a mistake that he was selling some stuff that they proclaimed cured the COVID-19. So he was taken down by the state of New York that sued him, and he was sued for practicing medicine without a license, so to say, or to sell a product that is not true. The next step was this. He was sanctioned. There was no public notice of it. There was no written decree that we know of. But suddenly, all the credit card companies notified Jim Baker, we will no longer take donations for your ministry. What happened? He went off the air. Now, he was on a number of different television stations, but he was sanctioned by a hidden power that simply took away the power of the credit cards. Most people today give it credit cards. And his income went from here, just plummeted. So the Antichrist is going to use economic powers to control you. Let's go to the outline now on page number one. Order out of chaos. You heard George H.W. Bush talk about this, the New World Order, and out of chaos in the 1990s. Satan cannot establish his global kingdom as long as the nations are strong and stable, and for this reason, he's radically opposed to nationalism. Now, politically now, it is not correct, folks, to be a nationalist. Okay, a nationalist is, they simply say, well, that's the same as being a Nazi, a fascist. You know, you're just a dirty person. But God is a nationalist. If you take and go to the book of Acts, and you pick it up in chapter 17, and you read this from verse number 26, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him, and find him, through him be not far from every one of us. They tried to establish a global world government in Babel after the flood. And God scattered them, created the different languages, and destroyed it. God is simply saying this, I don't want a global government. I want nations. Because, you see, it is much harder to control. Let's say we got about 160 nations in the world today. It's much harder to control 160 nations than if you can merge them into a global federation, and then you can control them. So when you hear the word globalist, that is Satan's master plan. One of the things President Trump said from the very beginning, I'm not a globalist, I'm a nationalist. He canceled the Paris Climate Agreement. And most people don't know what the Paris Climate Agreement was. But that agreement was this, that nations like the United States, we would cut back our carbon emission. But since India and China are not really developed yet, they will be allowed to continue what they are doing, polluting. And then we will have to pay a carbon tax, and that money will be given to countries in Africa and so on to develop them. In other words, it will take away a huge chunk of our wealth in this country for these third world countries. And President Trump said, that's not a good deal. Remember how lambasted he was for that. He was terrible. Global warming. He's not with a program. He's a bad person. Let me go back now to page one of my outline. The nations of Europe were somewhat stable during the 18th century, even with the wars they had. The Kabbalistic Jewish global government decided to create three branches which would work to destabilize the nations and control the financial markets. If you see, I don't know a whole lot of stuff on this. I've written 8 Kabbalah books, a small box. And I've taken you from the very beginning of the world government formation and to up to today. And you can actually follow that. Now, the leadership of the world government, which, by the way, is a Kabbalistic Jewish system, because they're going to try to bring in their Messiah, they made a decision about 1775, 1780, and said this, we need 3 departments to begin to conquer the world. We're going to have a financial, we're going to have a religious, and we're going to have a political. The financial would take care of all banking. The religious would be the Kabbalah, and the political would be the Illuminati. 3 men were selected. Mayor Amschel, who took the name of Rothschild, Jacob Frank, and Adam Weishaupt. Amschel was Jewish, Jacob Frank was Jewish, but we have not been able to prove that Adam Weishaupt was also Jewish. But if he wasn't, he was working with the Kabbal. There is a city in Germany called Offenbach. And Offenbach is close to Frankfurt, which is a big city. And here's a very strange thing. Rothschild, Jacob Frank, and Adam Weishaupt were all located very close to this small town of Offenbach. Coincidence? I don't think so. Now, the world government decided that they needed to start having revolutions. France at that time was a powerful nation, and they decided that we're going to take down France. And so Adam Weishaupt started a process by creating a secret society called the Illuminati. Now, you heard about the Illuminati. It's a bad word. People said, oh, that's just conspiracy. Illuminati means the enlightened, that had light. If you read Freemasonic material, they always talk about we are enlightened. We know more than other people. And it was established on May 1st, 1776. Ask yourself now a question. You live in America. May 1st does not mean a whole lot to us here. But do you realize that May 1st is one of the biggest events in Europe? That's when you have the labor unions, the socialists. It's a holiday in Europe. And they sing the International, which is their hymn. And it's a huge day. And they set it that day because that's where the Illuminati was created. The United States was formed officially July 4, 1776, which will be shortly the same year, and just about a month, 2 months, 30 days later. I'm on page 2 now. The Illuminati was not a large organization. They didn't want to have a large organization. They wanted a small core group that simply would be loyal to what they were doing. And so what they did was they sent agents, these Illuminati people, to the Masonic lodges, and they infiltrated them. Understand this name. In the United States, we have Masonic lodges. You find them just about in every city. You have a little lodge, bigger, smaller. If you want to infiltrate, now if we go back to the Mossad, Mossad is very small, but it's an access to Jewish people living any place, and a Jewish person is expected, when the nation of Israel calls, they will help out. So they simply said this, we have an organization existing. Now the Masons were basically a trade union at that particular time. It was not a political organization. And Adam Weissman said this, we're going to take over. It's an organization already existing. We don't have to start something. We get in, we take control of the top, and then we will initiate people to do our dirty work. Understand this now. Most Freemasons are totally in the dark. They don't know about the Illuminati. They are not initiated in that. There are certain people that are initiated, and then the lodge is used as a power base. If you look upon the French Revolution, and you really do study in it, they used a lot of pamphlets. They didn't have radio at that time. There was no electricity. They had newspapers. They had pamphlets, a lot of written pamphlets. It was about a 10-year period, and some 50,000 French people were murdered during that time. Here's what I want you to notice now. Every revolution, if it is with the Soviet Union, the Chinese, Cuba, whatever they had a revolution, Christians were always persecuted and eliminated. Why? Because the devil doesn't like Christians. He can't control them. Most of you have never heard about the Huguenots. You might have a degree in philosophy, you might have a master's degree or doctor's degree in history, whatever it is, but most of you have never heard the word Huguenots. And the reason is, you're not supposed to know that. You're supposed to be stupefied. Who were the Huguenots? When Martin Luther started the Reformation in the early 1500s, it spread into France. And we had there a man by the name of Calvin. He was a French, he was a monk, he was a theologian, but he was also a monk, just like Martin Luther was a monk. And Calvin got saved. And the church in France grew tremendously. The Protestant church in France was larger than the Protestant church in Germany. Calvin eventually moved to Switzerland. And so Calvin was a good man. Now they took it over, made it hyper-Calvinism. That's a different story. We're not going to talk about that now. So when they had a French Revolution, they killed all the intellectuals. And they destroyed the Huguenot church. They got wiped out. You ever heard a company called DuPont Paint? That's a Huguenot family. many of them fled, ended up in New Orleans, Louisiana. And DuPont family is simply left over from the Huguenots in France. Let me talk about Masonry in the United States. I already talked about this now. So, George Washington was a Mason. But at that time, the Illuminati had not yet come in. So when somebody says, oh, he was a bad guy, he was a Mason. No, Masons were not bad at that time. They became bad later. Now, I had aware of this, that George Washington wrote two letters on Masonry. He was asked a question by a pastor, Reverend George Washington Snyder, that wanted to find out about the Illuminati and so on, because they were concerned. This was not after the United States had been formed. And so he wrote a letter to George Washington. And you have the letter, if you had the first letter. And he simply said this, and I'm just going to read an excerpt here now. And he said this, and which allows me to add little more now than thanks for your kind wishes and favorable sentiments, except to correct an error you have run into on my presiding over English lodges in this country. The fact is, I presided over none, nor have I been in one more than once or twice within the last 30 years. So George Washington simply said this, look, I have not presided over a lodge. I really haven't been involved. I got a membership. For the last 30 years, I might have been there once or twice. So he wanted to simply settle that. Now, if you turn to page number 3 on the outline, he writes now a second letter to explain some further things. And he said this, it was not my intention to doubt the doctrines of the Illuminati. What book was he sent? There was a book written exposing the Illuminati. It was sent to George Washington. He said, it was not my intention to doubt that the doctrine of the Illuminati and principle of Jacobism had to spread in the United States. On the contrary, no one is more truly satisfied on this fact than I am. With other words, he simply said this, I know about it, I know it has spread here, and I probably know more about it than anyone else. President Washington was the first government official who acknowledged that the Illuminati had infiltrated the Masonic lodges. After he had written these letters, he didn't live very long, and he died in 1799. Now, I have included the words of George Washington to substantiate the claim that the Illuminati is real. It is not a demented imagination of conspiracies as portrayed by the mainstream media. The Illuminati is real and deadly. Let me talk about Christian intelligence services. I've been a minister for 57 years. I've been working in Sweden, Finland, I've been in Germany short time, I've been in Holland, had meetings there, I've been here. I have been approached by intelligence services. We have been harassed by them. I have been infiltrated by them. I have talked to many military people in the United States, military people in outer, particularly Germany. And I have got a lot of information over the years and understanding of what's going on behind the scenes. So what I'm sharing with you today is simply something that I accumulated for more than 57 years. And I'm still learning things as I have information coming into me from different people, our cyber members. I cannot cover everything. And they give me this information, that information. I check it, what I know, and I simply vet it. That's how we got what we're going to talk about here today. Now, the Masonic logic in America, Adam Weiss was given wisdom by Lucifer. He merged the Illuminati with Freemasonry. So the Illuminati has oppressed it because of the Masonic lodges. The original Illuminati organization does not exist anymore, but it continues to live on in every Masonic lodge. I have talked to people that have been in the Masons. They come out of it. They have shown me things. Years ago, I was given a book, The Morals and Dogma, by Albert Pike. I read that. I read Kabbalistic material and so on. And it's pretty much in the same vein, all of them. After 220 years, Masonic lodges are found in every major city and even among the rural cities as well. In order for you to advance politically or in state and civic offices, you must be a member of the Masonic Lodge. 14 of our 44 presidents were Freemasons. President Gerald Ford was the last Freemason to hold the presidency. Now, George H.W. Bush and his son George W. Bush, presidents, were members of Skull and Bones. Skull and Bones is a parallel organization to Freemasonry, but they are much more precise. Only 15 men are initiated every year into the Order of Skull and Bones. Very few people. But if you look upon a membership list and you look upon the United States, you says, wow, these people are in controlling positions and they are doing things according to what they are told to do. Masons are like, actually, the Illuminati is like a parasite. And I want you to understand now, even if you are initiated, you are a 33rd degree Mason, you do not know the end game. You are not told everything what's going to happen. You are told what you need to know. Just like the mafia. Let's say that the mafia boss simply wants to have somebody taken out. Order is given to one of what they call a soldier. And he's given a profile and said, you know, we want this guy eliminated. He might live in a different state. The soldier says, okay. He's not told, why am I going to kill this guy? No. He's simply told, get a ticket, fly into that city. They will furnish you with some weapons. Do the hit. Get rid of the weapons. Give them back to the people. They will eliminate them. Catch the airplane back to where you came from. That's all he knows. He doesn't know why this guy is being killed. That's how it is in Masonry. In the United States Army, if you have a battle, every soldier doesn't know what's going on. They know we're going to be here, sit, wait, do, march. Why are we doing this? They never told. Only the top general and his immediate staff have the battle plan. But the soldiers have not the foggiest idea. Majors, lieutenants, colonels, they don't know what's going on. And that is how Masonry is set up. I'm on page 4. If you are a Freemason and you go to court, you signal or you simply let the judge know, you have your attorney, let the judge know, I am a brother, I'm in a lodge. The judge says, okay. He will then have a fix for you. Freemasons do not pay tickets for speeding. They do not have any problems. They get away what I can call with murder. How far in has he gone? When the FBI was set up, J. Edward Hoover was a 33-degree Mason. In the FBI, the top leadership, you will have Freemasons. You had them in Pentagon. A lot of military guys are Freemasons. Doesn't matter where you go, there are Masons. That's how things are controlled. In the South, we have a lot of pastors, particularly Southern Baptist pastors, have a passion to be a Freemason. And I remember this, we talked about this in the 70s, that a lot of black pastors suddenly were initiated into Masonry. And the black pastors fell for it because they wanted prestige. They wanted to be recognized. They wanted to be with the white boys. So you have a lot of black pastors that are Masons. Do not understand why some of them are initiated to do some other things. You ever seen Jesse Jackson? He's a good Freemason. There are 6 million of them. They're spread into the entire world. Now, the communists do not like Freemasons because that's a subversive organization. You don't find them in the Soviet Union. But once the Soviet Union was dissolved, Masonry is back in Russia. You don't find them in Cuba. You don't find them in China or Cambodia, Laos, communist countries, or Venezuela. So the unrest that we have today in the United States is simply by design. Here's how it works. If I would like to do some damage in Sacramento, I want to take control. I want to do some destruction. Well, if I come in with a tea party and we set up roadblocks and do things like this, you know, we're going to be taken out in no time at all. So what I need is, I need to have unrest. So we plan for having disturbances. And when there is a spark, like we had with George Floyd, opportunity, activate all the different chapters, move in, take over the movement, burn, loot, kill, destroy, get rid of the police. This is what's happening behind the scenes. Now, the media, I'm going to have to talk about this next week, but the media is simply controlled by the Freemasons, who are controlled by the world government. The media is a lapdog. Have you ever thought about this? About 3-4 months ago, we had a crisis in the world. Remember that? The Amazon is burning. Remember we got every day, we got pictures from Amazon. They saw it burning, you know. We saw people cutting things down. Oh, man, this is climate. This is going to be disaster, right? And suddenly, we don't hear about Amazon anymore. Is it still burning down there? Oh, yes. But you see, right now, they said, let's not focus on that. We got this to focus on. Have you noticed this? We got a crisis in the country, and it, you know, it's there for a week, and then it disappeared. Did the crisis disappear? No. It just is not focused. Every day, you are massaged by what I call the stooges networks and the media and the Facebook and all the other stuff they have, and simply saying, this is a crisis of today. This is what we got to do today. Tomorrow, forget that. We're over here now. This is called manipulation. You have unstable people that are not educated. They've been taught in public schools about evolution. They consider themselves animals. They don't believe in God. They have very little knowledge of history. And you can make a mob out of them very, very easy. Get them some drugs. Get them some booze. Let them have their sex. And, you know, you got a mob that you can go. I'm going to close today in Psalms chapter 2. And you have here a beautiful printout in your outline of it. Courtesy of Pastor Charles Terrell. This is what God said. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you art my son. This day have I begotten you. This was written 3,000 years ago. This is talking about Jesus. Ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in peace like a potter's vessels. Be wise now, therefore, you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling. I like the verse number 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. God said, you better kiss the Son, or you're going to have big problems. If you would go down to hell, if I could take you down a tour to hell, which would be nice to do, because I might ever make you a believer, you would be a believer of hot believer in Christ. You will find there Adam Weishaupt, Mayor Amschel, Jacob Frank. You find them all there. You will find Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Joseph Stalin. You will find Joseph Smith, Charles Russell, the creed of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They all in hell, shackled, burning, screaming. Stop! Don't convert to our garbage, because every time a new convert is made, it increases their punishment. Joseph Smith is saying, God, destroy the Mormon church. He doesn't want any more converts. And yet, on this side of eternity, we have people that are stupid. Why? Because they have not been educated. I met a Mormon that I talked to Saturday. And I shared a few things about this. I said, hey, the rituals you have in the Mormon church, you can find them in the Masonic lodges. He said, I know it. I said, you know, Joseph Smith was not that great of a guy. He said, I know it. I said, how come you put your trust in Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, you trust in them for eternity? You know what the answer was? I was raised that way. I'm third generation, fourth generation. I said, that's insanity. I didn't do what I thought I could do much more today, but time doesn't work well with me. But here's what I want you to take home today. Be of good cheer. They might be screaming on the streets. They might be tearing down our statues. They might be yelling this and that. But God is still in control. And the Antichrist forces will not come on the scene until God said, go. Until that time, they held back. They held back now. This is our time to shine, to proclaim truth, lead people to Christ. So if you watch me today and you says, man, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be a Christian. Here's what you need to do. You simply ask God right now, forgive me my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, died on the cross, and that he rose on the third day. He paid my sins. Ask Jesus to come into your life and to save you, and he will. And when we finish here, your screen will change, three crosses will come up, and you will hear a very nice, soothing voice of Pastor Charles Terrell saying, my friend. And he will take you through the plan of salvation and pray with you. Do that. And if you pray that prayer today, would you contact us? Let us know. We'd like to know. And to those of you that are walking with the Lord, today was a political message based upon the book of Revelation. You have the Antichrist stuff in the outline today. I'm going to talk about it next week. Read it, listen, think, and then get close to Jesus and have a plan how to combat things in your community. May God bless you. Here's Brother Thomas to close in prayer.
I also wanted to add that Poppy Bush, the drug pusher, he's probably there with them too, with Weishaupt. And also, I think the motto of the Mossad is, by deception, we wage war. There's a second part to it, yeah. Very, very interesting slogan. So, Father God, we thank you for the word spoken this morning. We thank you, Father, that it was pointed out how critical education is for the masses. Number one educator would be the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's John 1:1. We thank you, Father God, that you have not left us here on this planet without instruction in righteousness. And I thank you also for Psalm 2. I mentioned that to some friends this week. Psalm chapter 2. Very, very good. And we thank you, Father God, that there will be an awakening amongst the people, that Jesus is the only way, that there needs to be salvation and repentance. There is no salvation without repentance. We thank you for this great history lesson today. We thank you for John Calvin, who did what he was supposed to do. We thank you, Father God, that you will open the eyes of the sleepy Christian as to what is really going on in the world today. And we thank you for raising up some Christian warriors. And I'm going to pray for these weak-kneed, spineless preachers across the world. Those that are bowing the knee to Baal, those that have no backbone, that they would be shaken up. And if they can't muster up the manhood, that they would be kicked to the curb, and you will raise up some others to take their place. We thank you for godly men that are going to do the job. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Durrell. This message was the second part in the series, America in Turmoil, and was entitled, The Illuminati and Freemasonry. A couple weeks ago, agitators among the protesters were instigating acts of violence, and it seemed that our country was rapidly disintegrating. God has revealed that a world government is coming, but in order to bring the Antichrist to power, Satan needs chaos to usher in the man of sin who will use flattery to deceitfully rise up and take control of the world in a peaceful manner. The devil has a hidden cabal of men to destabilize nations. The Illuminati was founded by Adam Weishaupt in 1776, infiltrating Masonic lodges, effectively creating a global organization. The Illuminati was a subversive organization that even President George Washington recognized as nefarious and dangerous. Most Freemasons have no clue there are high-level members inside their vast organization who have been initiated into the Illuminati and are responsible for inciting the unrest we see in America today. This is not some demented conspiracy theory, but a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1761. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.